Man, I got to tell you, Mike Super taking that dollar, tearing it up, and putting it in my microphone. Absolutely incredible. Really is. Hey, I do have a question for you. We've got open lines this hour. You're not going to bed yet. Plus, you know, it's Thanksgiving. You wake up in the morning, watch the Lions beat the Green Bay Packers. Kidding, those of you in Wisconsin, but I am from Detroit. Fast blast me because we've been talking about this. You know, we have our Digicam where we, put photographs on it of events that occur here in the studio. Do you want us to put in a webcam in the studio? Now, I'm not going to turn it on all the time. I'm going to tell you that right now. I come into work to work and do a radio show, and I don't want a camera in here 24/7 when I'm here. But on events like this, when people come in, or when Angela Cartwright came in, or Pat Boone, or Pamela Anderson comes in, do you want a webcam in the studio? So fast blast me. Tommy, you'll look at the results. And if a lot of you want that, I'll get our engineering department working on it immediately. And we'll turn it on during special occasions. That way we won't overdo it. And plus, you don't want to look at my mug every night on the radio. Okay, we've got open lines for you. You've got the numbers. Let's go in a moment. And of course, we will have a live program for you on Thanksgiving night. It will be, because it is November 22nd, our JFK anniversary program, which we do every year as well. And the staff has worked really hard this time because we've got some pretty historic JFK clips that we're going to use during the program, and some audio of that very horrible moment in 1963 in Dallas. And a number of guests throughout the evening. But we've got open lines for you this hour, so let us go to the phones. Wildcard line, you're up with us, and where are you calling from? Hi, good morning.
Good morning. It's an honor to speak with you.
Thank you.
I'm calling from Victoria, BC, Canada.
Okay. That's a wonderful spot.
It is. I had a question. I wanted the first show I ever listened to was about 16 years ago with Art Bell, and it was about a hole that seemed to be endless.
Mel's Hole.
Is that the same one that they put a microphone down and heard the screams?
No, that's a different. That was an audio tape that we had gotten a long time ago.
Okay.
The those that that specific episode, real or otherwise, don't know yet, was apparently some Soviets at the time drilling for oil. And as they were drilling down and down and down, they put a little microphone down there, and that's when they got those screaming sounds.
I remember that one. That was creepy.
Yeah.
But the other hole, Mel's hole,
That's Mel's Hole.
I wanted to know where it was located
I
in.
think it was in Washington, the state of, but nobody's really been able to find Mel Waters. He came on Art's show, if memory serves me, twice, and he's gone. Now he claims that the government was all over him, and that he may have sold it, but he's history. Now, Red Elk, who's a guest that appears every once in a while, claims that he had been out there and witnessed this incredible event, this natural event.
Because I remember them saying that they had like a deep sea fishing lure, one of those 10-pound ball things,
Yeah, and it
and they
kept
had that
going. And
lure and it just kept going.
yeah, it never ended.
Yeah. And that's what got hooked me on this radio station 16 years ago.
I would guess that there are spots on this planet that must have holes that go down pretty darn far. And that's probably one of them.
And that's in Washington State.
It was in Washington State.
Okay. And I wanted to know if you had seen or heard of the recent UFO sightings we've had up here in the last about 6 months. We've had a few.
Yeah, we've been monitoring those. Your area, your neck of the woods, gets a lot of UFO cases. I mean, there's something going on up there.
I mean, I believe in them totally, but what topped it off was one night, it was like 2:30 in the morning, and a guy phoned in from like the breakwater, and he said he had seen this red flashing light, and it would disappear and then reappear like 4 miles away, and then speed across and do it constantly. I didn't believe him, so I looked out my window and I could see it. And it was just the weirdest, creepiest thing, but cool at the same time.
It sure is. Hey, thanks for the call. You have a great Thanksgiving. Last week, I did a test with you to see if we could crush and slow down the server of our fantastic NighthawkZone.com chat room. It's not ours, but their listeners there. And we, couldn't crash it. I mean, it held on. So that gave me the impetus to test it on Jim Carroll's website, and you did crash it. So that's great. But we need to go after the Fantastic Four. We can crash that one at any time. And the NighthawkZone.com website, and see if we can crash that later. But they must have gotten a new server over at the Nighthawk Zone, because when we did this a year ago, we slowed it down considerably. Let's go back to the phones. International line. Hello there. Where are you calling from?
Hello.
Hi.
Hi, George. Back-to-back Canada calls.
I love it.
Hello? Can you hear me?
Oh, Canada. Sure, I can hear you.
Okay, yeah. Happy Thanksgiving to all you guys down there. And,
Thank you.
Just wanted to ask you if Major Red Danes has phoned Steve Fawcett yet. He keeps coming on saying he needs 72 hours, whatever, and just haven't listened in a while. And
I had an update last week about Ed Dames. He claims that they're going in March on foot into an area that they're trying to pinpoint, which is 300 square feet.
And all the way in March, eh?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, yeah, my BS meter kind of goes off whenever I hear that guy, but yeah, just wanted to check and see if you guys had heard anything.
Okay. 99% of you would like us to put in a webcam that we could turn on occasionally. One simply says, I don't want to look at you. But sorry, we'll get the engineering department working on it, and we'll get one installed in here. And so every once in a while, when we have some guests that you want to see what they're, who they are and stuff like that, we'll simply turn it on. Let's go back to our wild card line. You're on the air with us. Hi there.
Good morning.
Hi.
Okay, I'm Tom down in 10 Mile, Tennessee.
Hey, Tom.
Okay, I've got, yes, go with the webcam.
Okay, we will.
And I've got two questions for you. I've been listening for years, and you're doing a great job, you know, taking over, you know, following in Art's footsteps. But I would like somebody to explain all the different lines, wild card, maniac, all this. Nobody's ever explained any of this.
Well, let's go through them together, okay?
Okay.
The wild card line was set up by Art as who knows who's going to be on that line. You know, it's just, you know, any wild story, any wild person. It's the unexpected line. And because Art started in Las Vegas, wild card, you know, kind of like a
poker, like a joker,
like a little poker thing. So that's that. Then we have east of the Rockies. So phones that flow in after that, east of the Rockies, west of the Rockies. And then the first time caller line, which we reserve for people who have never been able to get on before. And so we've got four different lines, even though I've got many lines. Like, I've got five wild card lines.
Well, the other night, a lady called in on the Maniac line, and you said
this. Well, now that is a special hotline I'll open up on a Friday.
Okay.
That, so the Maniac line is not a line that is on every night, although sometimes it sounds like it is. We do different things. So, like, tomorrow, Friday night when I'm on with open lines, we'll have a different hotline dedicated to this specific topic.
Okay, and my final question is this. My cousin Mike up in Toronto, he and I listen to you all the time. We talk about you whenever we chit-chat. But why not do a show sometime on John Teeter? You know, how accurate was he, real or not?
Time for an update. We've done some, but you're right. It's time for another update on what truly still to me is an incredible story.
Oh, it is. I mean, you know, he and I have talked about this for years. You know, it's like it's a fascinating piece, but I'd like to see how accurate he was. And you know, the information online is just phenomenal about his stuff.
You know, I interviewed the attorney for John Teeter's family, and, you know, he says they're real.
It's incredible, like the GE drawings and everything else. It's just, oh, my God, these manuals are just, they look, I worked for the government in Oak Ridge, Tennessee for years, and this stuff looks very accurate.
If John Teeter is not for real, and that is a time traveler from 2034, then somebody put in one heck of an effort to try to deceive everybody.
It would take a team of people to come up with that kind of information.
Yes.
You know, working for years.
End years. You're absolutely right. Now, we thought, you know, there's going to be a John Teeter movie coming out. And so one of the things we thought about was, man, this is a great 2 or 3 year publicity stunt to build up momentum for this. I don't think that's it. I think the movie probably evolved after all this exposure. Thanks for the call. Have a good Thanksgiving. Let's go east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi, George. This is Nancy from Pennsylvania.
Hey, Nancy.
I wanted to thank you for your positive attitude and your approach. And I know it's positively affected me. And redirected my life for the better, and I'm very grateful to you for that.
You are most welcome.
And I'll tell you, I've been listening since like 95, and I always thought of art as like the Johnny Carson of talk. But you have got the heart and soul that's just, I think it's just making the world a better place. And then to get unmushy, a rainy night in Georgia is a bumper song maybe to get rain down south.
Oh man, we need more rain down there, don't we?
And if you maybe have the people think about it when the song played.
All right, Wayne, can we do that tonight? Rainy night in Georgia as the bumper song going out maybe? All right, he'll get it. He's
quick.
And then
one other thing was pairing up Marion the Ghostbuster,
yes,
who can talk to, you know, people, with the EVP people, and you could get live conversations.
I love it.
Well, I just wanted to thank you,
Jordan. And you all ready for Thanksgiving?
Oh, absolutely, because I'm so thankful, believe me.
Yeah.
I am.
Good.
And you've made it even more.
Well, that's our job. Thanks.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. And by the way, you're going to think I'm a little nuts here, but, you know, I'm going to be on the air Christmas Eve and Christmas night. That's going to come up pretty darn fast. Santa's made me an offer to broadcast live from his sleigh on Christmas Eve while we're on the air. We'll still have whatever guests we're going to have and take our phone calls and do all that. I guess technologically we were able to do that. But I might take him up on the offer. I mean, I've never done that before. And I mean, just think of it, to do a live broadcast worldwide from Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. So I may do that and from time to time pop down wherever he lands and, you know, tell you where I am and what's going on, and then back we go again. But if the engineers can work something out where it would have to be, Wayne, you can answer this for me because you're an engineer. Could a satellite dish, a small portable satellite dish, be hooked up to the sleigh where I could broadcast from it? Would that work?
I don't see why not.
All right. He says he doesn't see why not. First time caller line, we're on the air. Hi there.
Hi there. I was wondering about the Bigfoot Texas shooting way back yonder when Art Bell was on the show.
Yes.
We never heard the outcome of it.
Well, I guess the individual was supposed to send Art some information, and I don't think he ever did.
For real. And then we had that other gentleman that came on the line with Bugs, or not with Bugs, but to talk to Bugs. He was an anthropologist, and he also says that he's looking for Bugs as well, and nothing yet.
Nothing. Nothing. How many years ago was that now?
That had to be like, it was rebroadcast about, I'd say, 3 months ago.
Yeah, the original was years ago.
Yes, it was. And this is Arizona, by the way.
10% of the people who call in and say they have these incredible pictures or they've done these things, 10% of them follow through and get us the information. The other 90%, they fade off into oblivion and nobody knows where they went. Wildcard Line, you're on the air with us. Good morning.
Good morning. I have a question. Why is it that when people practice metaphysics, why do they suffer financially?
Nah, tell me about that. What do you mean?
Well, it just seems like maybe you're spending all your energy in your mental realm, and you're maybe subconsciously neglecting the material part of your life. But, I mean, as far as myself, I practice metaphysics, and it's just hard to get up financially, you know? Like,
well, now, before you practiced, how were you doing?
I was pretty much better off.
So you're saying as you practiced metaphysics, you started losing money? Or,
yeah, well,
or
yeah.
You went south with this?
Yeah, I went south. And I've noticed all the people that I know, as far as witches or anything like that, they're poor people, you know, like materially.
Huh. You know what? I've never heard of this before.
All right. I don't know. I thought maybe if anybody else out there felt the same way.
Okay.
All right. Thanks, George.
All right. Thank you. Let's go next to east of the Rockies. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hi. How you doing, George?
Good, sir.
Again, I'd like to confer with the other gentleman. You're doing a great job, and I've been listening since 94.
That's very kind of you. Thank you.
Well, I hear you talking a lot about energy as far as creation and evolution.
Mm-hmm.
As we know, energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It only changes forms. So before the material or physical manifestation, what we know to be the known universe, it was vibrating in dark energy, or male chi. See, this being called Melchizedek, king of Salem, he brought forth bread and wine, and he was the priest of the Most High God. And the Christian has been led to believe that he had no mother, no father, no beginning, no ending.
Some people think he's still around. Do you?
Well, that's a hard thing to answer. I believe that he taught Jesus, because Jesus was made a priest after the order. Again, male is short for melanic, which means dark, and chi is short for spirit, a life force, a cosmic conscious vibratory energy, and which is male chi. Zedek means priest and teacher, and this teacher, he had a lineage, but he taught the science of dark energy.
And why do you think, though, somebody would teach, you know, the dark energy? Are you talking about, like, the dark side?
No. See, again, you said that everything changed. Well, they said that everything exploded from a small matter, you know, and brought forth the expansive universe.
Right, and I have a rough time believing that.
I'm saying energy cannot be created nor destroyed. It only changed forms. So before there was light, there was infinite dark space of infinite dark energy.
Yeah, it was 100%, you mean.
Right. They said that only 10% of what we know to be the matter or energy is only 10% of the so-called expansive space of the expansive dark energy.
Well, you know, we need to do a real science show on dark energy, dark matter, because it's still perplexing to me, and also scientists as well. They keep changing their minds over what this stuff is. Let's go next to our wild card line. You're on the air. Hi there.
My name's Mark from Chinook, Kansas.
Hello, Mark. Good morning.
How you doing?
I'm great.
I've been wanting to ask you, have you ever heard of an author, a lecturer named Neville Goddard?
I have not. What has he written?
He's written a book called, he's written several. He was an author and lecturer and mystic in the 50s and 60s and up into the 70s.
Okay.
And the book that I really liked of his was called The Power of Awareness. And it goes into consciousness and what it's all about. And it just very, really seemed to be straightforward explanation, you know.
Well, let me tell you, one of my favorite books, and it's a small red paperback book written by a fellow who is dead now named Claude Bristol, and it's called The Magic of Believing, which is probably pretty similar to what you're talking about.
Uh-huh.
You got to get that, because I read it, changed my life. It's just an amazing small booklet. You can read it. I mean, it's a book. It's a paperback. You can read it in a day. The Magic of Believing. Just an incredible story there. Speaking of incredible stories, as we push our way toward the end of the year, during open lines, we'll have these various topic lines, and I want you to collect and save some of these incredible events that have happened to you over the years, because there'll be some special nights for you on that. And we've got a full moon coming up pretty soon too, don't we? Another week, maybe? So we might have some full moon open lines right around the bend as well. If you need to email me, that's george@coasttocoastam.com. I'll be right back. We'll take final phone calls, open lines here this now Thanksgiving morning on Coast to Coast AM. Well, tomorrow night we're going to do something that I normally just never do. In my entire broadcast career, I just really don't do this. But I want to. You know, my three children are grown. They're in St. Louis. I'm here in Los Angeles right now. So I'm going to put them on the air with me for a little bit in the first hour, give you an opportunity just to hear them wish me happy Thanksgiving and me wish them happy Thanksgiving. And I hope you understand. It's kind of a fun thing. So I'm going to do that tomorrow night. And my oldest daughter's expecting her second child, who just refuses to play the part of the groundhog. I mean, I mean, it's going on and on and on and on and on. He's 8 years old now, and he hasn't been born. No, I mean, really, it's been a long time, but we'll talk with her, too. Her name is Wendy, and she's holding on okay. They just diagnosed her as being a diabetic, and maybe because of the pregnancy, and I hope she's able to work that off afterward. But tomorrow night, first hour, in addition to what we're going to be doing all night long, special on JFK, but we're going to pop them on for just a little bit, and send them off to bed. We'll be back. And welcome back to Coast. I'm George Norrie, and let's go back to the phones. First time caller line. Good morning. How are you?
I'm doing great.
Super. Super. Where are you calling from?
I'm calling from Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Okay. What's going on?
Well, it's been raining all night.
Let's move it to Atlanta, would you?
Yeah. I think it just needs to run down the Tennessee River to them or something like that.
That would be nice.
Yeah. Actually, I got a shadow person story to tell you.
Okay, what happened?
Well, actually, a couple weeks ago, or maybe last week, there was a guy that called in, and I tried really hard to call in after him, because he hit the nail right on the head when he said something about the, neighborhood watch sign.
Yes.
And, yeah, I'm sure you remember
yes,
that, right?
Yes,
okay, you know, I always thought, and you get these doctors that tell you about night terrors and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And when he said that, you know, I was like, there's got to be something to this. Because when I was young, I'd sit there in the middle of the night, and I'd wake up and almost paralyzed and just terrified. And I'd look over in the corner of my room, and there'd be this, like, 6-foot-tall just shadow. And, I mean, just a perfect outline of the trench coat and the fedora. And so I've had him come around every so often.
What does he do? Does he bother you? Try to hurt you?
Not really.
Just hangs around.
Just stands there in the corner, just almost like staring. But like, you know, you've heard before, there's no eyes.
No. And that's got to be a little disjarring, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Just to know that this thing is there.
And, you know, when I was that little, you know, it's not like I was born in the 30s or something where I would, you know, could conjure up that image on my own.
And then it simply goes away, doesn't it?
Sometimes I'd have to try really hard and pray and just sit there and tell it to go away, but eventually it would. And, you know, then I could feel like I could move around again.
I think most people have seen shadow people when they stop and think about it. It's just a phenomenon that just occurs. It's all over the place. Let's go next to our West of the Rockies line. You're on Coast to Coast. Hi there.
Hello.
Yeah, hi.
How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Thank you. Happy Thanksgiving to you.
Well, same to you. I've got I want to say I got an anger. I'm going to have a fit or something.
You're going to have a fit? Why?
You know, did you know, of course, you're in Los Angeles, right?
Right now I am, yeah.
And I'm here in Las Vegas. And do you know if there's not a train from Las Vegas that goes any place?
There's not a train?
No.
I didn't know that.
If you want to go anywhere, they got to haul you to in a van or a pickup truck or something to whatever they use out in the desert down to Kingman, Arizona, and put you on a train. But you can't go in. I said, well, you mean tell me there's not a train that goes to Los Angeles? And he says, no, and no. He says, and this man I was talking to, he was laughing about it like it was a sort of a joke, but he said, no, it's the truth. They got a bunch of turtles that's squatting out there on those tracks, and they don't want to disturb them. Did you ever hear of anything so ridiculous?
I've never heard of that before.
Why don't they send those illegal aliens out to scare them off?
Or and pay them a couple bucks.
Well, of course. You can't, okay, he said, well, most people want to drive a car, you know, their own car. I said, sure, we've got a nice big new Cadillac, but we're pushing 80 years old. We don't want to get out and drive, go places. We'd rather sit down and
relax.
Relax. If we wanted to go up through Idaho or to Washington, we have friends up there. Or if we wanted to go to back east.
Well, I had heard that they are going to start construction next week in Las Vegas on a super train.
Oh, that's not just to run around from Ellis to downtown to the Strip.
No, no, you're going to get one that will let you go all over the country.
Well, how this man who worked for him didn't know that.
And you could get to, let's say, Los Angeles in 20 minutes with this train.
Well, I don't have to go as fast as the Japanese, but it would be wonderful.
You could get from Las Vegas to Detroit in 35 minutes.
Oh, God, I'll take it.
Are you going to, would you do that?
Sure.
It might be expensive.
I don't care.
I'm kidding you.
I'll take it with me.
I don't think they're building one, but it's just, it could happen one day.
Well, it could happen, but it won't. Like I said, we're pushing 80. It's not going to happen our time, but it makes me sick to think that it's political or it's what? It's they couldn't be that there's enough casinos here and enough people who come here that it's not going to disturb or make anybody go to California to use the casino.
I guess they figure, you know what, with the planes and cars, that's enough.
Yes, but it isn't.
No, it's not. You all set for Thanksgiving?
Yes. And I'm mad about another little thing. We took my little dog's been in the hospital for 2 days. We have a poodle, and would you believe, you know what a poodle looks like?
Oh, yeah.
The long ears that hang down beautiful and this fluffy tail. Do you know that some little idiot in that doctor's office, and Dr. Flom out in Henderson, in his office, cut my dog's ears off.
What?
Right up to the leather.
They cut your dog's ears off?
Not the ears, not the leather of the ears, the hair. Trimmed it right around the ears and trimmed him off so he's just so skinny. He's only about 9 or 10 pounds. And left, had little skinny legs, just left a little fuzzy hair on the end of his tail.
Like a little, like a rat.
He looks like one of those Chinese crested something or other.
Well, it'll.
My husband said, "That's not my dog."
It'll grow back.
Well, it will, but for Christmas, he's going to look like that.
Well, dress him up like a little reindeer. Put a little red nose on him.
Well, we have a pink, shocking pink T-shirt I'll have to put on. It's like a sweatshirt he'll have to wear. And tonight, now, he sleeps in his own duvet. I'll put stuff in it, you know, but I was afraid it would get cold, so my husband went over to Petco and bought him an Argyle sweater.
Well, you sounds like you two love animals.
Oh, we do. That's our fourth poodle, and this one's going to be 15 next month.
That's pretty good age for a poodle.
Yes, but you know, the people we got him from, she's had poodles that lived to be 19.
So how long have you lived in Las Vegas?
20 years.
Where'd you move from?
Torrance, California.
What made you go to Vegas?
Well, I don't. Oh, I know.
Gambling? You like to gamble?
No, we don't gamble or anything like that. But we, my husband had retired, and we were, we had an old house that we had only paid, oh, God, I don't know. We made $300-something thousand profit on it.
$300-some thousand? $100,000?
$340,000.
I hope you have that stashed away somewhere.
Yeah, well, we came over here and we bought a house and paid cash for it. And we didn't want a big house. We loved the big house for 10 years. It was wonderful. And then we decided we were too old for that. So we bought a townhouse and a complex gated. And so we have the rest of it stashed.
That's good. Do you have family? You have kids?
Nope.
Nope. Just the animals.
Only poodles.
Just the animals, huh?
Just poodles.
How long were you two married?
35 years.
That's pretty good.
Well, I was married 26 years before, and so was he.
Where'd you meet?
In California.
Whereabouts?
Well,
come on, you can tell me.
I had a he's from Pasadena.
Some wild club or something? Come on.
And then Torrance, and he was coming into my store all the time.
What kind of store?
Furniture, interior designer.
Did he buy anything?
No, he would come in to take care of things for us from time to time.
You mean he'd come into the store just to see you? He didn't buy anything.
No, he didn't buy anything.
How do you finally ask you out?
I think I must have asked him. He's the nicest man. I was married to a Sicilian. Need I say more?
Yeah, kind of rough, huh?
Oh, I tell you.
Was he from the Sopranos?
that was what he would like to have been, but he just wasn't smart enough to be in the soprano group. But he tried to, but he was a very much of a philanderer. And he was nice to me, but nice to everybody else too.
I'm coming over for Thanksgiving tomorrow. You all ready?
Yeah.
All right. What are we having?
We're having prime rib.
Prime rib on Thanksgiving?
Yep.
What about the turkey?
Well, we'll have turkey if you come, we'll have turkey too then.
Go out and get a turkey in the morning, and I'll come by.
Okay. That'll be fine.
All right. You take care.
For you. What do you like to drink?
Well, I can't drink. I got to do a show tomorrow night.
Well, it's okay. Everybody else will drink too. They won't know.
What do you like to drink?
I like champagne.
You do?
Yeah.
What kind do you get? The good stuff or the stuff that doesn't bubble when you pop the cork?
Well, I like that. I like pink champagne. But
pink champagne?
The bubbly stuff. Shadow something. I can't think of the name of it.
Cristal's pretty good.
Yeah.
You ever have that?
Yes, I think so.
I bet you've had Ripple.
Oh, no, I don't think I've had Ripple.
Ripple champagne, don't they have that? I know they have Ripple wine.
No, but
my producer drinks it out of a little bag.
No, there's something called Andre's. I remember years ago you used to put $1.99 a bottle for a champagne, and now it's about $6 a bottle.
And they used to do a lot of television commercials, those Andre commercials, didn't they?
Oh, yeah.
During the holidays. Bing, those things.
Yeah.
Okay, well, we'll see you in the morning.
Okay.
All right, bye.
Bye.
Okay, let's... Wayne, quiet. I'm on the air here. Wild card line, you're on the air. Hi there. There he is, my trucker. Happy Thanksgiving.
Happy Thanksgiving to you too, George.
Thank
How's
you.
It going?
Good.
This is Eric. I'm calling from I-5.
Yeah. What's going on?
Streamlink member listening to you on XM Radio from the KMJ 580 listening area. Nighthawkzone.com. Big shout out to those folks.
Good people.
Hey, you done a couple of shows on, you know, Friday nights where you've had special topics of, you know, different things, different subjects.
Exactly.
And, one of them in particular had something to do with, like, miracles or close calls. I think you had a close call.
Close call line, the miracle line. Yeah, we've had them all.
And I tried to get in on one of those nights, but I couldn't. But since now's my opportunity, I figured I'd tell you about the time that I was working at a fast food restaurant when I was a teenager. And that was a long, long time ago.
Sure.
My last life. And I was working with the French fry station. And the close call, or the miracle, I guess, mixture of two, that I had was where I dipped my hand in 350-degree hot oil.
Scalding
hot oil. And I removed my hand fast enough to where, you know, it wouldn't have been too bad of a burn. But under normal circumstances, I think that I probably would have had to go to the hospital at the very least. But fortunately, I was working right underneath a medicine station where there was this can of burn septic spray. And I took that can of burn septic and I sprayed it all over my hand. I inundated my hand with the whole thing. And I must have spent at least 5 minutes. And all the crew members were standing around looking at me.
In shock.
Doing this. In shock. And I put the thing, I put the can back in the medicine cabinet, empty. And I looked at my hand. I put it under cold water. I took it back out. And there was no pain, no burn marks, no nothing. And I went right back to work again. And that must have been probably about 25 years ago. And... I still think about it to this day, and I wonder, who could have been there?
Somebody was watching you.
Besides all the crew members, of course.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, thanks. Drive carefully.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, and have a great Thanksgiving.
I will do that. Looking forward to it. East of the Rockies, go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hello. How are you doing?
Good. Thanks.
Hey, my name is Jeff. I'm from Wood River, Illinois.
Yeah, I know it well.
Yeah, well, I had a story for you. I used to stay at a buddy of mine's house, and I used to wake up every night at 3:11 in the morning. I would wake up and I would look at the clock, and it would be 3:11 every morning. And anyway, I woke up one night, I looked over at the clock, it was 3:11, and I felt like there was this presence there, and it felt like somebody was sitting on my chest and holding me down. Mm-hmm. I couldn't breathe or couldn't move. And I know I've heard of sleep paralysis and all that, but I mean, it was just, there was something there that I can't explain. And I don't know, I just figure you might have something.
Well, and if you rule out sleep paralysis, which happens, then you're right. Then you're into the syndrome, which we've called the old hag syndrome, this horrible feeling.
I mean, but there's more to the story. Like, I was staying in he was about to have a child at the time, and I was staying in that room at the time, and before he had the kid. And I, like I said, I would wake up 3:11 every morning at the same time.
See, that's bizarre.
That happened to me every night. And then after he had the child, he named his child Gwen, or Guinevere. And then he ended up talking to his neighbor, you know, like a couple months after he had his child. And she told him that there was a woman that lived in that apartment before him named Guinevere.
No way.
That had passed away there.
And the name just came to him.
Right, right.
That is weird.
I mean, I don't know what you make of that, but, I mean, I find it very bizarre.
There's something supernatural going on there.
Right.
There really is. And Wood River, they still have those gas towers up in that area?
Yes.
Yep.
Yes, they do.
Okay, great. Thanks. Have a good Thanksgiving.
Right, thank you.
And we don't have enough time to take another call, but you know the schedule, you know the drill. Live program on Thanksgiving night. It'll also be our JFK extravaganza program Friday night. We will be here. You know, it's supposed to be the biggest shopping day of the year. Live program with open lines on Friday night. I'm going to sign off here with everybody, but I want you to have a great Thanksgiving. And if you happen to be all by yourself, have a great Thanksgiving and come back and listen to us on Coast to Coast. For Wayne Roberts, the laugh you've heard in the background, Dan Galante, Steve Carr, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Ladasur, Ross Mitchell, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell, I'm George Norrie. Somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM, we'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.